Hey, welcome to the Ad Chronicles podcast. I'm your host, Kyle James, and today we're going to be diving in headfirst into how a marketing and advertising company called Mass Solutions is using AI inside of their own business. And we'll share the exact steps that you can take in order to implement AI for yourself. Now, before I dive into that, listen closely. Are you looking to implement AI inside of your own company, or maybe just struggling to get your AI to stop hallucinating? Speak to GPT Trainer. GPT Trainer literally builds out and manages your AI for you, eliminating hallucinations for good. Go to gpt-trainer.com. I promise you, it'll be the biggest time-saving decision that you've made all year. Trying to set up AI on your own is like trying to build a house from scratch. Sure, you could do it, but the time and frustration it's going to take you to get it finished, it may not be worth it. It's 1,000 times faster and safer to hire professionals. Schedule a consultation today. Once again, that's gpt-trainer.com. Today I have with me Dave Masovich with me on the show. Dave is a best-selling author, keynote speaker, and growth marketing strategist who's reinventing the way marketing is done by helping companies clarify their message, understand their audience, and tell stories that drive action. As CEO and founder of Mass Solutions, he blends data-driven insights with creative storytelling to deliver no BS marketing that actually works. So excited to have Dave on the show. Hey, Dave, welcome in. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me. Excited to be here.
Yeah, super, super excited. So tell us a little bit, give us some background on Mass Solutions. How did the company come to be? And what's your kind of background in that?
Well, my background is I started out and stumbled into doing turnarounds. I was in the media as a teenager, both this thing that used to be big, they're called newspapers, radio, TV, all over the place, all through teen years, college, and so forth. And a couple of radio stations went bankrupt. So I got my start doing turnarounds, did multiple turnarounds, and eventually was part of the growth of a multi-billion dollar healthcare system and helped grow that from one just under $1 billion to $10 billion. And all the while doing all these turnarounds, people would say to me two things. They'd say, when are you going to write a book? And why don't you do this on your own? And I finally realized I was doing all these turnarounds and they were great. They treated me well. Everything was awesome. But I realized that I should do my own company because I would do these turnarounds and eventually I would, at the beginning, people would love it. I'd be pushing. But eventually I would kind of wear on people. So I had enough self-awareness to say, it's time to go do this on your own, get in, get out, help clients. Now, that being said, we keep clients very long, but when you're doing a turnaround, it's better to be a year or two in and out and go from there. So that's the story.
Yeah, I love that. And so now you're using AI over at Mass Solutions. Tell me, why did you decide to start using AI in the first place? And specifically, what types of challenges were you trying to solve either for your clients or even internally for your team?
Yes. Well, I'm huge on personal and professional growth for me and anyone around me, whether that is a team member, a client, a friend, a colleague. And so I'm constantly looking at ways to improve your productivity, your quality of life. So when the biggest change in AI, which AI itself goes back decades and decades, to things that we don't even consider AI today. But when you hit with ChatGPT, that kind of hit and immediately I started digging into that. And there's a couple of ways that I use it. One is I'm a big proponent of getting into the flow state. And I was actually part of the Flow Research Collective and got the chance to really test a lot of ideas about getting into the flow state. And the flow state used to be called getting into the zone. It used to be back in the 90s, Michael Jordan was in the zone. Well, now the flow state is the phrase that's taken that over. And I found that for me personally, as a person that's an idea person, a solutions person, and a content creator, that getting into the flow state involves reducing friction. And you reduce friction by little things like planning your day the day before, making sure things are, if you're going to have athletic greens, have it in the refrigerator ready to go, whatever you're going to do. If you're going to work out, make it so you can't convince yourself not to work out. If you're going to jump in the cold plunge, make it easy. But all of that was to reduce friction. I found immediately that I was able to reduce friction and get into the flow state for my own personal ideation and content by just priming ChatGPT about me. And I think this is one of the things that happens that people don't do well with their AI is to really prime it about you and about anybody that you're working with. So I spend a great deal of time explaining who I am, what my content looks like, what my voice is, but I also then describe the people that I work with. And it's not as simple as popping in a LinkedIn profile of a client or a team member. It's having the ability to read a person and say, what this person thinks like is this. This person enjoys this. When I was with this person, I noticed that we laughed and really let our guard down when we talked about this. Those types of things prime it about you and about the people you're going to ask to help solve problems for. So it immediately helped me get into the flow state more quickly on all kinds of fronts. I'll stop and pause because that's a lot already.
How do you get, like, give me some granular here. Like, when you say get in the flow, like, specifically, like, I'm just trying to wrap my head around like, if I change the AI to be able to do this, like, how is it going to get me deeper in the flow versus not doing anything in the AI on the prompt?
Let me give you two examples. So yeah, one please. Would be when I'm preparing to meet with and to tell the story of a chief executive officer. A lot of what I work with is I work directly with the CEO and the C-suite on the company story and their story. And then I have a full team of awesome people that do all kinds of stuff to make that happen. But when I'm going to meet with someone, I will actually say something like this, and this is one that worked. I'll just say the guy's name is Dave. Say, Dave is a big, burly guy with a heart of gold. I've seen Dave get emotional. He's a family guy. When he talks about his family, you can just feel it in him. I will type that in and I will say, when he and I get involved, we get off on tangents about our families. We get off on tangents about our passions. And I describe Dave, this person who is named Dave, I describe him in great detail. And I say, no, I'm going to meet with him. Here's the big idea that we came up as a team with them, or we call it the big idea, tagline, slogan, or your storytelling narrative. I say, here's the big idea of the company. Here's some of the storytelling pillars, but here's what I think Dave needs to convey. Help me prep to meet with Dave today. And it comes back and gets me a number of things that I then take and say, yeah, that's sort of okay, but I don't agree with that. And I have a conversation back and forth. And then I come in prepped for that meeting. Now, I was historically a big pre-call prep person for any call, meetings with staff, meetings with my boss, meetings with whoever, meeting with the client. So I was already doing that kind of thing, but I did it on my own. What happens now is it expedites it and it fills gaps where I had blind spots. So that's powerful. So that's one example, but I'll stop and jump in and ask me any questions. Then I'll give you a second.
No. That's exactly like the last thing that you said there. Like, it's the gaps and the blind spots, because I think a lot of the fear, especially when you're going into like these bigger meetings or calls or whatever to C-suite executives, you're going to pitch something to them. Like, you don't want to step on a landmine, but you also, so it's almost like, I know the direction I want to go, but I need to make sure I don't say something wrong or ask the wrong thing or pitch the wrong thing. In this case, you're saying, hey, I'm getting like almost like different perspectives as to like, when I go into this meeting that you're, and now I know all more avenues as to where it can go well. And then maybe even more importantly, making sure things to avoid, such as the blind spots that you mentioned.
Yes. Now, a second example is, let's say I'm creating content, and this is for anyone out there that creates content. Now, there aren't a lot of people that I believe write much anymore, but if there's still some writers out there, great, we need you. When you go to write, throughout the history of time, writers see a blank page when it used to be a handwritten page. Then they see a blank screen when it's something to write. And this happens to any of us. And this would happen with the video creator who wants to have an outline before they go and put the camera on. Where I found that this helps is it gets you from 0 to 80% quickly, instead of the frustration of writer's block, or what I call content block. And I'm a big 80-20 person, where there's 80-20 thinking and 80-20 analysis. And that's the Pareto principle, where 80% of outcomes come from 20% of actions. So 80% of what you wear is only 20% of your closet. 80% of what you eat is only 20% of the foods that you list and have at your house. That's how we are as humans. So it can get you to 80% of the production of something instead of having that writer's block or content block, because you go and do this. You have thoughts in your head. And when you go to produce this content, you're looking at that screen going, I want to say this, I want to say that, but how would I start that? What I encourage anyone on my team to do is just pound away and say, I'm thinking about producing a blog that will eventually become a podcast and will probably end up in, turn into a keynote at some point. And here's what I'm thinking about. My gut philosophy is blah, 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 blah. I was thinking this, I was thinking that. Oh, by the way, I thought this, it's totally scattered. It's not, it's like, you know, it's like, you know, messed up and you're just typing and typing and typing. And I say, start me off with what you see from this. Boom, it comes back and says, I like this, this, and this. Here's an outline. I go, yes, but I don't like that. So now I got to 80% pretty quickly. But the key is I then have to edit it so it's still mine. So it took all my ideas from my head. So it's not plagiarism. It's nothing. It's not fake. It's not BS. And then it quickly gave me back something to get me out of the fear that we have, the anxiety that our brain causes saying, I've got to create some. I've got to create some. Gets me out of that because now you need to get into, holy heck, look how great this thing is looking. Boom. Now you start editing and that final 20% is when you take it to the promised land and it's still 100% you now. It's still 100% you. So that's how I encourage anybody to go about it from a content standpoint. If they prime that, and if that knows your voice and it has past blogs, it has past podcast episodes, past video clips, it has my book, PDF of my book, it knows who I am. It's seen, I put client work in. I tell it stories about me. So when I want to get in my voice, it's there. That's how it helps you go from writer's block or content block to getting something done.
Wow, that's incredible. So I love the direction. And it seems like too, like what you said earlier, you like you encourage your own team to do this approach too. Like how are they, I guess, responding? Maybe even like kind of walk me through maybe some of the results that you've been seeing, like either like from your team necessarily, or even on the client side, since like you've been implementing a lot of the AI within Mass Solutions.
Sure. So there's been some resistance, and I'll even get up close and personal, and my brother sees this, he'll be ticked at me. But my older brother is fantastic. He's brilliant. He's been elected to halls of fame for his sports writing. And he's been a part of our team as well, in addition to being a sports writer, analyst, and personality. And he's a diehard journalist with a capital J. And there's seven of them left on the earth. And so he also has written a book, and it's called Slapshots and Snapshots, The History of Hockey in Johnstown, where the movie Slapshot was. And so you can get that, Mike Mastovich. And so he was very reluctant to do anything with ChatGPT because he felt dirty about it. He felt guilty about it. And I said to him, I go, Mike, but just try one thing for me. Once you've interviewed five people at this client and you've got the people interviewed and you're ready and you put that into your story and you've drafted your story and you love your story, just take that story and say, hey, just give me a couple of quick LinkedIn posts for this as a starting point, see what it does. And then he gets that back. And the first thing he does, he goes, I only edited their LinkedIn post for like 2 minutes. I said, yeah. So think about how a normal journalist with a J, capital J, would think about doing the LinkedIn post. They would, he'd probably take 30 to 45 minutes to do something that someone not a journalist with a capital J would do in 10 minutes. So now we've helped expedite that. But initially, he had a nervousness about it. I've had multiple content creators have a nervousness about it, saying they felt guilty about it. Another example, though, is not everyone can write emails well. And so I have one, I love personal professional growth. I love coaching and mentoring. I had one person, I said, hey, people aren't getting you because your emails are terse and you leave things out. And so it looks like you're being terse or blunt. Plus there's people saying, wonder what he means. I said, just do this for me for kicks. Just for a week for me, humor me. Copy each email, paste it in the ChatGPT after you primed it to say who you are and how you talk and your voice, and say, just clean this up for me. I kid you not. A week later, I had three people, two team members and a client say, what's up with so-and-so? I've noticed a different so-and-so.
Wow. I think it's like where the, like I'm circling back to your, identify the gaps, right? And the hidden spots. And like, I think that's a lot of emails people can come across that way and they don't mean to, like, that's not their intention, but it's like from your mindset here of like the AI is like, hey, build out the AI to where it understands who you are and the type of person you are.
Yes.
And the background, the details. And then from there, figure out, okay, yeah, my emails are, yeah, I could probably use a little bit of a, you know, fine tuning of my emails, or it probably helped to, you know, tone it down on this tone, you know, on this front. But in this case, like you can have the AI build out a more better communicated email, which goes a long way. And at so many people's different businesses, it's not just like business at all. It could be in multiple different industries.
I asked this person how much longer it took him. He said, not longer, because it went like this, copy, paste, hit, come back, look up, copy, paste. I mean, you're talking, once he got good at it, 10 seconds.
I love
10
that.
10 seconds so, in email.
Talk to me a little bit about Mass Solution here, because you know, tell me a little bit about, because you mentioned something about your team. Maybe like briefly show me like what is it exactly your team does, but then also kind of direct that path towards like, hey, what are your upcoming AI initiatives for your team? And then like, where do you see it maybe playing, you know, on the AI front, like the biggest role in your operations next? Yes.
Well, what my team does that make, what we believe makes us different is when I sat on the other side of these turnarounds, either in the number one or two role or a chief marketing officer role, I saw people come to me and they were really all about execution of a tactic, but they didn't think that. They would go like, well, I was creative because I thought, well, let's put that on Instagram this way. And there was a little bit of creativity. I'm not knocking that, but that's a tactic. Whereas hardly anyone understood strategy. And these firms were coming in really jumping to trying to do creative. And then the creative was done by someone who was really artsy driven, artistic driven. So we believe that as a marketing consultancy that focuses on the science and math to drive the creative art and to really get things done through project management and intense project management, that makes us different. So we come in and we want to do voice of the customer. We want to do an analysis of sales data. So when we come in and say, we want to look at past sales data for the rest of 3 years, and we're going to analyze it with our IP, and we're going to do some voice of the customer, and the customer includes current employees. The customers include prospective employees. Customers include current referral sources or centers of influence, prospective referral sources or centers of influence. It includes current clients and customers, which most people neglect from a marketing and storytelling standpoint, and includes the one we all focus on, prospective or new ones. So we come in and do that kind of analysis, and you start to find trends, and those trends come out, and then that can drive the marketing strategy and the big idea storytelling narrative. That's what the unique differentiator of Mass Solutions is. We do that, and we do that quickly, and we do that in an economic fashion that can work for just about any size company. That changes the game. But then we also have a full team of people beyond the team that did that to execute with video storytelling, to execute with email drips, to execute with building a full content calendar, to write any kind of content that your team doesn't want to do in-house. All of that kind of stuff is still done by key members of the Mass Solutions team.
Yeah, I love that. I think going back to like the content creation, like that's such a huge, like the creative art behind that. Also just like the getting that voice. Like I love that. That's the background. It's like getting the voice of like the employees, the customers, the clients, the prospects in the pipeline, like getting a clear picture on all fronts. Like that's what makes a difference when doing business with a lot of these different industries out there in the market. So, and as we wrap up, Dave, man, it's been great having you on. I could just sit here and talk to you all day, bro. Where can people learn maybe a little bit more about you, and then maybe even a little bit more about Mass Solutions that you would recommend them check out next?
Well, I have a personal site because of my personal brand with my podcast having over 500 episodes, a lot of videos that I've done speaking keynote-wise, 2 books and so forth. And that's at davidmastovich.com. But then the company is masssolutions.biz, because we help you get more biz. So masssolutions.biz. And hit me up on LinkedIn. It's Dave Mastovich. I'd be happy to connect and talk to people and also just hop on a Zoom or something to brainstorm and help in any way that I can. I love trying to help. I enjoy mentoring a lot of people earlier in their careers. So it's a good time.
Yeah, I love it. Thank you so much, Dave. It's a pleasure having you on today. We'll definitely keep in touch. Hopefully we'll see y'all maybe on the next episode in the future. Who knows? Who knows where the AI could be taking us? And thanks everybody for listening. And remember, if you're looking to implement AI into your business today, please don't try and do it yourself. The time and stress the AI could cause, it may not be worth it. Schedule a call with GPT Trainer and let them build out and manage your AI for you. Once again, that's GPT-Trainer. Signing off for now. Have a great rest of your day, everybody. And looking forward to seeing everyone on the next episode of AI Chronicles.